So we are going live. All right. Howdy, howdy, everybody. And welcome to another episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast. I'm so excited to have my friend Christine Brinker on with me this evening. And we're going to be talking about electrifying your home. So howdy, Christine.
Hi.
So before we get into our talk with Christine, I'm going to give you a few little tips, some background, do my announcements real quick. So some of the events that we have coming up this week, it's Earth Week, which is exciting. I'm going to be on Channel 9 News for 3 minutes at 8:15. So don't be late. So that's on Friday, on Earth Day. And then also at the Sci Film Center, there is a screening with the Colorado Environmental Film Festival. And I'm going to be on a panel after that. One of the movies is Nature's Big Year. There's a few other ones. So that's going to be fun. Also during the day, Denver has an Earth Day event that has all kinds of fun stuff going on, kids yoga classes and album release from DJ Kavem. I love that guy. He's plant-based hip hop artist, dad, super cool. So that'll be fun if you're looking for something fun to do on Earth Day. And then the next day, April 23rd is Houseapalooza. The Denver Metro Association of Realtors has this thing 10 to 2 p.m. at the Holiday Inn East. I'm one of the sponsors. And it's just a time if you know somebody who's thinking about buying, selling, and they're like, what exactly is going on here? This would be a great event to go just be able to talk to lenders and down payment assistance programs and all that good stuff to get a lot of answers in one place. All right. So with that, I'm so excited to be talking with Christine. Christine and I, gosh, Christine, when did we meet? It was at eSource.
Probably the previous millennium.
Yeah, probably. We're going to narrow it down to the previous millennium. So Christine and I were both researchers at eSource, writing about energy efficient technologies and distributed energy and all kinds of good stuff. And then I got to go visit Christine and her husband, Jeffrey, when they were volunteering in the Peace Corps in Niger. And then later, their daughter, Marie, and her husband, Jeffrey, came visited me in Korea. So we've had all kinds of fun adventures over the years. And Christine, in addition to doing this home project, does a lot of cool things. She's with Southwest Energy Efficiency Project. So she's the kind of friend that says, hey, would you like to testify at 10 p.m. about energy codes? And I'm like, heck yeah. So she does a lot to help pass amazing energy efficiency bills at the Colorado State and other levels. And then she's also a member of CASE, which is the Committee. What is it?
Citizens Alliance for a Sustainable Englewood.
Citizens. I wouldn't have gotten there. Citizens Alliance for a Sustainable Englewood. And as my work starting Green Team Academy and encouraging people to form teams and make a difference in their community, that's exactly what CASE is doing in Englewood, Citizens Alliance for Sustainable Englewood. So if you're in Englewood, Colorado, you want to get involved, they do a lot of cool stuff. All right. So there we go. I think we got all the background. So Christine, will you start by telling us a little bit what we're going to be talking about, your home and the project that you've been doing bit by bit over the last 10 years to electrify your home. So could you tell us a little bit about why, like a little bit about the home and why you decided to focus on this?
Right. Our home was built in early 1930s, so it's been around for a while. It was fairly drafty, leaky, noisy, so we've been ticking off all our energy efficiency to-do list items one by one. We've tackled one big project every couple of years, And the one I'm most excited about is the one right behind me, where we installed an air source heat pump and a heat pump water heater to replace our really old gas-fired furnace and water heater that were each on their last legs. And we are so happy with our heat pump systems that I want to talk about it to everybody I know. If you ever get invited over to my house, it's almost a guarantee that I'm going to bring you down here to show off our heat pump systems, because they are just so cool. So I'm happy to tell everyone else about it and how we went about finding our heat pump systems and what we learned along the way to hopefully make it easier for other people. But I guess about the bigger picture, our house, since it was so old, they didn't have the same technology back then in terms of insulation or windows or appliances or heating systems. So the first place that probably anybody should start is with an energy audit. And our utility, Xcel Energy, and most utilities paid for most of the price of getting an energy audit. And someone comes out with a blower door to test how leaky and or airtight your house is. And they bring a thermal imaging gun so they can see exactly where you're losing all your heat in the winter or you're cooling in the summer. And so you can go about fixing those items one by one. And they give you a ranked list with potential prices and potential payback of all the steps you can take. So anybody who has a new home that they've recently purchased, that's the obvious place to start, I would say, within at least a couple months of getting any new home.
Yeah, that makes sense. And by new home, you mean it's new to you. Like yes. you move into yes. somewhere.
Yes.
And what's so cool about that energy audit, I was house sitting for some people in Southwest Denver, and one of their rooms was so cold. And I was like, you know, have you guys, because I do this, they're asking me to take care of their cat. And I'm like, have you thought about getting an energy audit? Because there seems to be something wrong.
Yes.
I don't make comments on what they have in their pantry or anything like that, but the energy audit. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to them on Tuesday, and the next Monday they said, hey, we called and somebody came out and they did the energy audit for us already. And wow. It was, I think it was $135 to them, and Xcel covered an additional $200. And then they were going to come back with the results as well as the rebates for everything that was recommended.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, because it took us that long to figure out like getting together for lunch.
So right.
We are going to mention a little bit later that Denver, just for Earth Day this year, is just announcing a whole slew of different rebates for electrifying your home. And so I'm going to read through those. Christine's in Inglewood, so those wouldn't necessarily apply, but Xcel Energy does have rebates. But yeah, so let's talk about, so first, why is it important? Because I think, you know, I'm guilty of probably 10 years or maybe 15 years ago when I was working on some of those, like the Space Heating Atlas for eSource, we were ranking gas-fired appliances, furnaces, stuff like that, way up there. And mm-hmm. I think what was not in the mix was how do you go carbon neutral. So do you mm-hmm. want to talk about that a little bit? Because I think there is still this, I see it in the real estate groups, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. oh, upgrade to, it's got an upgraded stove, it's gas fired, or it's got a gas,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whatever, fireplace in the yard. And it's like, and I'm going, but
that's not an upgrade. Yeah, that's definitely a downgrade. And that's changed, I'd say, in the past 10 years or so. It used to be that getting a high efficiency gas furnace or water heater was your best bet as far as reducing your energy use and your climate impact, but that's because heat pumps weren't particularly widely used in our climate where it's a little colder in the winter. And that is because they didn't used to work so well as they do now. They have had a huge technical advancement in just honestly the past 2 to 3 years. The cost plummeted and their performance increased a whole lot. So you still actually find a lot of HVAC contractors, if not the majority of them, who still have that old impression in their mind. They'll say heat pumps don't work in our climate. They don't work when it gets cold. And the truth is they work very well now. And those contractors just probably have outdated information. So now heat pumps, they can work. They can spit out heat down to minus 20 degrees. And as you know, in Colorado, it rarely gets that cold.
Yeah.
Especially with global warming.
Right. So yeah. Just as a reminder, we're talking about projects here in Colorado. And
So I think the message there is if you are considering getting a heat pump for your house and your contractor says, oh, heat pumps don't work here, or they say you still need a gas furnace as backup, then you just say you're off the list and find a contractor that does know what they're talking about and that does have updated information. Because the truth is you do not need a gas backup system, and the heat pump, if you do it right, it worked just lovely.
And I think the other thing that a lot of people say is, well, yeah, we could do the, I understand doing the replacement for the gas furnace to the heat pump, but we're still going to have to do water heating. You're still going to have gas. So what's the point? So what did you find?
Well, pick one, whichever is your oldest unit or the unit that's about to conk out the soonest, and replace that. And then after that, replace the other one. And so you don't need to do them both at the same time. We happened to do ours both at the same time because we were doing a huge basement remodel as a result of extensive water damage from our basement. And both of our systems here were pretty old. So it was a good time to replace them.
I think you were also, as we were kind of preparing for this, that whole idea of replacing, I think you mentioned a good point, which is that when those things get replaced, a lot of times it's like, and it's whatever, you know, January 14th during a cold snap.
The most inconvenient time. It's probably the middle of the night. It's probably during a blizzard. Or conversely, your air conditioner might go out in the middle of a heat wave during the summer. And I think that one of the biggest points or one of the biggest action items that anybody can take is to start to make a plan for what to do when their furnace or water heater goes out or their air conditioner goes out, or just kind of take stock about how old your systems are now and think about if it might be time to replace them preemptively before they go out at the most inconvenient time. And in order to make a plan for what to do, just start poking around with what are heat pumps and what's the latest in the technology. Maybe get a few names of contractors on your list, on your short list, that have experience putting these in and know what they're talking about.
So what are some of the resources that you found? Because even though you and I are both working in this area of like energy efficiency in general, you know, most people don't know contractors, and you included, who had that expertise. So where would you recommend people go? Or I don't know if you want to share the name of who you used or how you would recommend people find somebody reputable.
Sure. It's getting easier and easier even than it was a year or two ago to find a good HVAC contractor that's familiar with heat pump systems. One good website that has just appeared in the last year or so is loveelectric.org. And that is Colorado specific, but it has why you would want to move your house towards all electric. And then where do you start? And it has a page of contractors that in theory are more familiar with heat pump technology. So they won't give you as much older, outdated information. So that's one place to start. Another really good guide is available from Rewiring America. Rewiring America. And I found that their guide is just everyday language, very simple, easy to understand step by step. So that's really good background reading material for, honestly, for anybody. Our contractor was Kappler Mechanical out of Broomfield. That's with a K, K-A-P-P-L-E-R. And we interviewed, I mean, we got bids from maybe 5 to 6 different contractors. They were head and shoulders above the rest. They knew what they were talking about. Like I said, some of them insisted I still needed guest backup. But Kappler was willing to work with what we wanted. And there are others that are good as well that other friends have used. But another company that's fairly newer to the scene is called Elephant Energy. And they are helping homeowners navigate the sometimes rather complicated process of figuring out what works for their house and step-by-step evaluating some different options. So they would be kind of like the general contractor role of figuring out what to do next. And I would have loved having a resource like that instead of having to go through it the hard way.
Right. And so I'll be putting all these links on the podcast in the podcast notes. So if you're listening somewhere on a podcast platform, they'll be there. We'll have the video on YouTube and then at climateactionhomes.com/podcast. You'll be able to find all the notes there. Mm-hmm. Christine, I feel like one thing that we didn't really talk about was how does this approach of electrification reduce your carbon footprint? Just because it is kind of confusing, mm-hmm. of the, you know, the earlier messaging of stay away mm-hmm. from electric. It's too, mm-hmm. you know, it's not efficient and gas is better. Can mm-hmm. you just kind of encapsulate your whole approach to electrifying your home and why that's important?
Yeah. Switching to all electric is probably the most impactful thing you can do for your individual house or in your individual life as far as reducing your climate impact. And like we were talking about earlier, that's fairly recent news. It used to be not as good because our electricity used to come from such dirty sources, namely coal plants. And now that our electric grid is getting cleaner and cleaner, in fact, our utility Xcel has a plan for it to be 80% renewable by 2030 and 100% carbon free by 2050. And they're actually moving ahead of those goals. So now that the grid is getting cleaner, then getting your heating and water heating from electricity is getting cleaner and cleaner. And it's a no-brainer now. Even though some of our electricity still comes from gas plants, it's still absolutely a no-brainer. The other thing besides the source of our electricity is that these systems are so darn efficient. They're 300% efficient. The air source heat pump is 300% efficient. That sounds impossible as far as physics go, but the reason is because it's not generating heat, it's moving heat. It's concentrating heat from outside and putting it inside in the winter. And then in the summertime, it's doing the opposite. It's concentrating heat from inside and moving it out of your house. So the technology itself is so efficient. You combine those two things, a really clean grid on a really efficient system, it's absolutely a no-brainer for climate impact. And I think in terms of scale, it would equal about the same as getting rid of one of your gas cars.
Okay, right. So really, a really significant impact. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what this whole Climate Action Homes is about, is to, you know, you can do things like I don't need that plastic straw. You know, like you can mm-hmm. do little things, but you know mm-hmm. that it's not quite enough. So but when you do something at yeah. your home where you're really able to change things in a big way, and it's mm-hmm. it's more fulfilling, and seeing
it's
it as
huge.
A creative yeah. project. And so what would you say about, I think that you guys added solar recently, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. what if you can't? I think what you're saying too is even if you can't afford to go solar yourself, that the grid itself is getting cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you decide to go with solar on your home?
We were just ticking things off our to-do list, and it was the next thing. We'd wanted to do it for quite a while. So that's why. We also wanted to take advantage of the tax credits at the federal level before those go away. I think they're ramping down slowly over the next 3 years. So it was a combination of factors. But I think if you had to choose between the two, you would absolutely change over your heating and water heating to all electric before you would put on solar on your rooftop, because the grid itself is getting cleaner. But a natural gas fired heater is always going to be natural gas. It is always going to be a fossil fuel. It's never going to get cleaner. And you also have not just the outdoor climate benefits, but you have the indoor air quality benefits as well if you go over to all electric. You have some risk of air toxicity from heating and water heating from gas, but you have a lot that comes from a gas stove. So in terms of air quality, indoor air quality, switching out your gas stove to electric is an excellent way to go. Recent studies have shown that children that grow up in a house with a gas stove have 40% higher asthma than 40% higher risk of asthma than children with an electric stove. So lots of steps there, but heating, water heating, those are really the biggest bang for your buck as far as climate and energy bills. And then your gas stove is the biggest bang for the buck in terms of indoor air quality and making sure that the air you're breathing and your family is breathing is as clean as possible.
Yeah. And I think that was at RMI.org was that report that was cited about the indoor air quality. And I think they were looking to some other research.
Yeah. And I should mention that about stoves, we just have a basic hand-me-down electric stove, which is way better than the old electric stoves we're used to. But induction stoves have leapfrogged even gas technology. I'm covetous of an induction stove. We don't have that yet. Maybe someday when our gas stove, when our current electric stove goes out, we'll be able to get induction, but it heats water twice as fast as a gas unit. It's really finely tunable. What I think is cool is you can put your hand straight on the burner and not get burned, because it only transmits heat to the actual pans, not to humans. So that's pretty cool if you have little kids around the house. So that's yet another cool reason to move your house towards all electric and another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And I think that's good to know too, that, you know, all these different things that we're talking about, there's kind of a range. So the boring things, like we always working in this energy efficiency realm, we're always like, how do you make insulation sexy? But you know, like if your attic is not adequately insulated, start there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know, that's the number one place to start.
That's a place to start. Yeah. We had about an inch or two of insulation in our house when we moved in, and we put in a bunch. And our neighbor just a few doors down the street, they had only newspaper up there. They had newspapers from 1929 as their insulation in their attic, which is pretty cool in its own way for as historical reasons, but not for actually insulating your home and in your walls. If you have very little in your walls, they can blow in insulation up through little holes that they drill either in the inside or the outside of your house. And we did that a few years after moving in for reasons of energy savings and climate emissions and reducing our energy bills. But what I was really shocked to find is that it made our house so much more comfortable, so much quieter. I didn't really realize it was noisy before, but once we could see the difference, it was amazing.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think all those things that improve technology of being able to insulate your walls. And just a note on that is that that's why it's really good to do that stuff in conjunction with an energy audit, because if you seal up your walls, you put a bunch of insulation, now you've made it a lot tighter, then you have the potential to cause a carbon monoxide leak into your space. Because of backdrafting the generally the water heater is the one that has the lowest draft. So if you're doing those kind of things, it's really good to do it with, along with somebody who knows what the whole mm-hmm. tightness of your house is, so that you're not doing things in isolation. But that's one reason to get rid of your gas appliances.
Never any risk of carbon monoxide poisoning here, now that we don't have gas here anymore. Zero risk of ever having any carbon monoxide poisoning or gas leak or gas explosion. It's priceless, the comfort of mind you get knowing that your kids are safer there. You don't have to worry about such a scary danger there.
And I think, you know, the other thing is, I know that you've done other projects in your house over time, and, you know, done projects on your landscaping and adding storage and finishing your basement. And so I think that's why I thought this was such a great story to tell, is because if you do have a home, you're likely to be doing projects. Mm-hmm. And so to think about prioritizing these projects that will reduce your carbon footprint, and you know, we want to be great parents. And so what better thing than creating a livable world and showing, you know, our kids that we cared. And yes, it's a pain to get contractor bids and, you know, all that stuff, but, you know, not more of a pain than some of the other stuff that we mm-hmm. go through in life.
And that is such a good point.
I wanted to share really quick those. I'm just going to share my screen so I can read this off. So if you're just listening on the podcast, don't worry about it. But along with all of this and making it affordable. So as I mentioned kind of at the top of the show, that Denver is just announcing these, like, Happy Earth Day. Woohoo, Denver. By the way, Denver has a really cool, if you're not in Denver, this is something you might want to implement wherever you are. They have a very small tax that funds this climate action fund. And that's how they're able to do a lot of these things. I want to say it's 0.25% tax. It's a pretty low number, but it generates millions that allows them to do this stuff. So their new rebates is $9,000 rebate for an air source or ground source heat pump. And like they're mentioning, they're quoting saying an installation can easily cost well over $10,000. So I think, Christine, you were saying yours was more than $10,000. But, you know, having this $9,000 change, that would make it, like you're saying, a no-brainer. Instead of just going to another a gas appliance, it could make it less expensive. $3,200 for a smart heat pump water heater, which is very cool. It looks like $1,400 without the whole internet connection. $4,000 for solar. $2,750 for battery. $2,000 for electric service panel upgrade. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of those things that would stop a lot of people, like, oh yeah, you know, like maybe the solar company says we can finance it and it's not going to come out more, but if you still have that upfront chunk, so that's pretty neat. And then $1,000 to install wiring for an EV charger. And this city incentive would come in addition to a, what is that supposed to be? Maybe $5,000 or $500 rebate from Xcel. I don't know what that number is. who knows? And then $400 for an e-bike. How cool is that? And if you're income qualifying, it could be up to $1,200 or an additional $500 if you're buying a cargo e-bike. Okay, so here's the details. Funding from the program comes from the 0.25% sales tax Denver voters approved in 2020, which provides $40 million a year to the city's climate protection fund. This climate protection fund came about, it was a resident-led initiative. So if you're living somewhere and you don't have this, then follow this model that Denver did. Get a bunch of people together, get some signatures, put it on the ballot. It passed with something like 65 or 70%, which is unheard of these days where nobody agrees on anything. But anyhow, so I think the whole message, what would you say, Christine, is kind of the message that you would like people to know, given your experience? If they're like, that sounds cool, of course she's able to do it, but I'm not going to be able to do it because blah, blah, blah.
After seeing those incentives, I am so jealous that those are available to Denver residents. Honestly, some of those cover almost the entire purchase price, depending on the system that you get. And there's no guarantee, of course, how long those will be around. So if this is something even remotely on your mind, you should probably consider jumping at the chance to get those incentives, because those are unheard of. We also have more incentives coming from Xcel. They have some mild ones now, but in the coming years, they're going to be boosting those up alongside contractor trainings to help get everyone up to speed on that. And then there's also a bill in the legislature right now for a 10% tax credit off the cost of a heat pump or a heat pump water heater. So you start adding those together, and it absolutely makes it a no-brainer. So I think the bottom line is that everyone needs to start making a plan for how to start switching over towards all electric, whether that is this week or next month or next year. You still need to start getting your plan in order. And the other message is that it works. It works amazingly. You don't need gas, and the climate impact, the emotional appeal, the safety, the health aspect are priceless for making the switch. So I'll talk anybody's ear off of how exciting it is to have an air source heat pump and a heat pump water heater. Maybe other people don't find as exciting as me, but you will like how good you feel to know that you don't have gas going to your home anymore, and how good you feel knowing that your family is safer.
And I wanted to add on to that. You had said before that the grid in itself is getting cleaner. There is also there are some community solar projects out there. And with one phone call, you can sign up for community solar and have all of your electricity coming from that instead of Xcel. So if you're like, I don't have a roof that's available, I don't want to put solar on, or I don't want to wait, then you can also make that step immediately. And so the other thing I meant to ask you, Christine, is what is your bill like for, let's say, for heating with the heat pump compared to the gas furnace?
It went down, which is awesome. Because heat pumps are so efficient, we have lower electric bills, lower total energy bills than we have before. And since we have no gas, we also don't have to pay that regular monthly charge that was like $13, $14 a month just for the privilege of having gas, even if you don't use it. So we don't have that anymore either. So in total, it went down. There is a lot of misinformation, probably one might say purposeful misinformation that your bill will go up, but that's not what we found. That's not what the other data is showing, because these systems are so efficient. We'll probably have slightly more electricity in the summer because now we have air conditioning, and we never had air conditioning before. But the cool thing about a heat pump is that it's a heater and an air conditioner in the same unit. It just basically switches directions depending on the season. And with last summer's extreme heat waves and terrible air quality coming from all those fires, it was really nice to have clean, healthy air in here that was also cooler. So we know that our cities are getting hotter and hotter, not just from climate change, but from urban heat island and other factors. So that cooling aspect is an extra awesome bonus from a heat pump.
Yeah, that's a good point. The heat to be able to get through the extreme heat as well as the air quality issues.
Yeah. And that made me think of one other point as far as misinformation a lot of people will bring up. But do we have enough electric capacity in our grid? Can our grid handle all this electrification? And here in Colorado, we can, because our utility built their grid to handle such high summer air conditioning loads. So they have extra to spare in the winter when you'd be running your heat pump. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. And so we will be putting those different notes into the podcast notes there. And if you're, you know, if you're somebody that's like, gosh, I would really like to be able to have a zero carbon footprint, I and Christine, we just want to encourage you, go for it. And if what that means is that you need to refinance your house to get some extra money, or if you need to move somewhere else, I'd love to help you with that. But you know, I'm 61 years old. I've seen people waiting to do stuff. And, you know, we're just not at the point. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you, is that the new IPCC report that came out in the 1st of April, the headline was now or never. It's now or never. And the things that they're asking us to do is to electrify, to go to renewables, and, you know, to do anything that we can to reduce our energy usage. So this kind of project that you can do with your family and be a model and a resource for people around you, is a really powerful way to go to make you feel better also, you know, not so hopeless, like you can make an impact. All right. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. And thanks, Christine, for sharing your story.
Of course. I'm happy to. I'm happy to answer anybody's questions too. Anybody wants to learn more about it or hear anything else about heat pump, definitely reach out to Joan and I'll answer any questions.
And if she invites you over for a happy hour, know it's
be prepared.
Sitting right there by the heat pump.
You've been warned.
That's awesome. All right. So thanks, everybody. And I look forward to seeing you on another episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast.